Hallelujah. Amen. Thank you, Father. Father, I just thank you for your word this morning. I thank you for your anointing. I thank you for your anointing upon your word. Lord, we expect this morning your word to do what only your word can do. Lord, and bring freedom and deliverance, liberty, joy, life, restoration, healing. Whatever, Lord, your people need this morning, I thank you, Lord, that your word comes to fulfill that in our lives. So we bless you this morning for your Lord, we bless you, Lord God, for your word, that you've lifted your word even and exalted it even above your name, so that we can believe that everything that you've said will be accomplished because of your great name. Amen. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Let's go to Luke chapter 6 this morning. Hallelujah. Luke chapter 6, very familiar territory, and we'll start at verse 46. Jesus speaking, he asks this question, "Why do you call me Lord, Lord? And not do," say do, "and not do the things which I say. Whoever comes to me and hears my sayings and does them, I will show you whom he is like. He is like a man building a house who dug deep and laid the foundation on the rock. And when the flood arose, the stream beat vehemently against that house and could not shake it, for it was founded on the rock. But he who heard and did nothing," say did nothing. He heard the same as the first guy, he heard, but he did nothing. "He is like a man who built a house on the sand without a foundation, against which the stream beat vehemently, and immediately it fell," or immediately it collapsed, "and the ruin of that house was great." Now, the question I want us to ask ourselves this morning is, which house are we building? Which house are we building? See, there's two houses. One stands and the other falls. Both experience the same circumstances. Both experience the same hardships, adversity. One stands and one falls. In 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 15, Paul says this. He speaks about the house of God, which is the church of the living God. The house of God is the church of the living God. The pillar and the ground, or that word could be translated, the foundation of the truth. Who knows, there's two types of church. There's one type of church which equips you to withstand a storm, and there's one that doesn't. There's one church which provides protection from the storm, and one that doesn't. There's one that simply scratches your religious itch, and there's one that establishes you in the truth that sets you free. That sets you free from sin, from sickness, free from sickness, free from oppression, free from everything, free from worry, free from anxiety, free from stress. Glory to God. That's the freedom that the Holy Spirit comes to bring about and to accomplish in our lives. And there's one church, there's one house that will establish you in these things. And there's one that doesn't. And so you know which house you're in and which house you're a part of after the storm. It's after the storm has passed that you discover which house you were in. See, during the storm, maybe even feeling some of the same things, feeling some of the same emotions, feeling some of the same difficulty, but it's after the storm you discover which house you were living in, which household you were a part of. I think we touched on this maybe the last time before I went away, but you know, the Lord has made things really simple for us, hasn't he? Because he's only really provided two of everything. Amen. You know, there was two trees right back there in the beginning. Jesus said there's two roads. There's a broad road, there's a narrow road. There's two houses. There's the house that stands and the house that falls. There's blessing and there's cursing, and he always gives us the opportunity to choose, doesn't he? There's life and there's death. There's sheep and there's goats. There's sons and there's orphans. And so on and so on. You know, there's just enough to give us a choice and not so much that we'd be confused. He gives us just enough so that we have a choice. Two of everything, but not too much so that we might get confused, because he knows how easily and how quickly we get confused, doesn't he? Amen. God's not the author of confusion, but of peace. Hallelujah. But there's another two choices that I want us to look at specifically this morning, and that is sin and grace. Sin and grace. Now, I want to clear up some confusion this morning, because you know, who knows that over the years, many people have viewed grace as a cover-up for sin. But if your sin is just covered, your sin still exists. Amen. I don't know what kind of wallpaper was on that wall before or what color the wall was before the wallpaper went up. But if you peel it back a little bit, you'll discover what it was. Why? Because it still exists. See, you cannot have sin and grace. You must choose. You cannot be a sinner and a saint. You must choose what you want to be. See, according to Jesus, the first man in this parable, the first man, he hears and he does. He's a partner with the Lord in the house that he is building. Wasn't it awesome? Anne read from Psalm 84 this morning. Then we sang, of course, the song from that scripture. Better is one day in your house. I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of the Lord. Is that your heart this morning? Than to dwell in the tents of wickedness. Because that's the choice. Even just a doorkeeper. You know, some people, they won't. I'm not coming to church because I've been here 20 years and they haven't given me a position yet. I'd rather be a doorkeeper. I said, I start every Sunday morning as a doorkeeper. Hallelujah. Amen. Glory to God. Maybe you haven't got behind the pulpit yet because you ain't been a doorkeeper. You didn't show up in time to be on the door. You weren't fighting over each other to get on the door this morning. Because we heard it also this morning prophetically. It's that welcome. You know that most people will come back to a church not because they like the preacher or because of what the preacher said, but because of the welcome they received at the door when they first arrived. And many people will decide whether they'll come back or not on the welcome, whether it exists or whether it doesn't. Come on. Many people will decide before they come through the door, but according to the welcome or the lack of welcome that they receive, I'm never going back there again. Well, I think I'll come back, yeah. And a lot of people, 5 years down the road, that's what they'll remember about the first time they attended the church, was the welcome they received. I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of the Lord. I'm choosing the house of the Lord over sin, over the tents of wickedness. You know, we sing, you know, better is one day in your house than 1,000 elsewhere. You know, well, some people, they spend thousands elsewhere and they try and tuck the one day in his house down again. And that's not, I don't think that's what it's saying. Amen? Glory to God. I'd just rather be in the house of the Lord. In fact, David put it this way, I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Hallelujah. I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. So the first man, he hears and he does. And because he hears and does, he's a partner with the Lord in the house that he is building. Jesus said, I will build my church. I will build my house. So how does he get into partnership with the Lord? Because he's hearing what the Lord is saying and he's also applying it. He's also living it. He's living it out in his life. In Proverbs 24, verse 3, it says this, through wisdom, say wisdom. Through wisdom a house is built, and by understanding it is established. But the second man, the man who hears and does nothing, just because he's not doing anything doesn't mean he's not meditating on it or thinking about it. In fact, as I was meditating on this last night, I began to realize that he has faith because he's heard. Faith comes by. So he might even have faith. Maybe he's even studying what he heard. Maybe he's talking about it. Maybe he's even preaching it. But it's not a part of his life. He's not doing it. And he's not applying it. You can speak faith. You can preach faith. You can talk faith. But if you're not applying it in your life, if you're not taking what he says and doing it, then your house, no matter about all your big talk, is still being built on sand. And that sand, after the storm, after the storm, will be lying flat. I'm not here with bad news this morning. You can keep smiling, okay? It will get better. If you're hearing and you're willing to do, if you're not, it probably might get worse. So in this man's life, and this shook me, to be honest, last night, this shook me as I was meditating on this, that this man could even be preaching faith and still be building on the sand. Because it's all dead letter, even though he has faith. Because faith without works is dead faith. Faith without works, faith without accompanying action is dead faith. And dead faith will result in death instead of life. You see, remember, and I thought it was awesome, the last song we sang, that walking by faith, because the exhortation of this word is to walk by faith. But who knows it takes at least two steps to make a walk? Amen? It takes at least two steps to begin putting distance between where you were and where you are going. Because the first step leaves your second leg back where it always was. And I believe the church is full of people who take the first step. And they think because they've taken the first step that they're out there doing it. But really their first leg's still back. They've got a leg in both camps, as they say. A foot in both camps. Because it always takes at least two steps to make a walk. Come on, think of it. That's not a walk. I've taken a step, but it's not a walk. It's not a walk till my second. Now I'm walking. Hallelujah. Turn to Hebrews chapter 5. Hallelujah. What are we talking about this morning? Which house are we building? That's a question we need to keep at the forefront of our minds this morning. Which house are we building? Are we building a house that will stand or a house that will fall? You see, we were speaking about this, and we were speaking about it coming over in the car, about commanding the waves and the storms. But you know, you need to know, you always need to know, because we looked at this before I went away, if you remember, it's important not to just try and do what Jesus did, but to get involved in what he's doing. There's such a major distinction there between just trying to do what he did and actually getting involved in what he's doing. You need to know when you have authority to rebuke the storm and when you have authority to endure the storm. Come on, they're in the middle of a storm, in the middle of the lake, and Jesus is sleeping. He's in the middle of the storm, but the storm's not troubling him one bit. But the other guys who don't understand what's going on, who are full of fear, who see a storm and their house is not built on rock yet, it's still built on the sand, and so they start screaming, "Oh, do you not care that we're going to die?" They obviously don't have a very strong relationship or a very good understanding of who their God is. Jesus said, I have come that you might die. I've come that you might have. Like Jesus is asleep in the boat. He has, at that point, it's only when they start to stir him up that he gets up and realizes what a condition these guys are still in, and so he rebukes the storm. He obviously hears from the Father, "Oh, well, you may as well rebuke this one," so he rebukes that one. You see, Jesus had said something before they got in the boat. He said, "We are going to the other side." So it doesn't matter what blows up along the way. See, people, you know, and they go, "Oh man, you know." Just because Jesus rebuked one storm doesn't mean that you have to rebuke every storm. Because sometimes there's grace to endure the storm. Hallelujah. And at the end of the storm, you will not be lying flat on the floor. Your life will not be over. You will not wake up dead. You will still be alive. You will still be standing. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Because he's given you grace to endure the storm. I remember was it 1970 or 1971, that kind of hurricane that came up on the west coast of Scotland. Devastated Glasgow. Tenement buildings collapsed. Roofs were blown off. Every kind of thing. I woke up that morning, got hold of my brother, went headed off to school. We're walking down the road going, "Man, sheds were lying in the golf course next to us and stuff." And it was just like, we slept all the way through it. We got down near where the school was, tenement buildings, as I said, roofs blown off them. People were killed. It was awful. There was horrendous damage. I mean, in fact, it reached up to Lewis, and we heard that my grandparents' hen shed, they've never seen it since. In fact, the whole byre went. Everything went. The chickens went. They've never seen them since. I mean, maybe their feathers are still floating out there in the Atlantic somewhere. I don't know. Totally gone. Dog went. Everything went. Even the dog, yeah. All you dog lovers said, "Oh." You didn't say that for the chickens. Guess what's for dinner, folks? Just as well it's not China. You wouldn't be saying, "Oh, for the dog then." One fellow said to me, if he came back from Hong Kong, he brought a present for his mother, 100 ways to walk a dog. Hallelujah. Ha, 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 ha. your cat too if you feel like it. Here, kitty. Where are we going with this? I have no idea where I left the road, you know, but. Slow cook. No, we'll have to think about it. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hebrews chapter 5. Glory to God. Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 12. Glory to God. For though by this time, say this time.
This
time. Say by this time.
By this time.
Say is that time already? You ought to be teachers. You need someone to teach you again the first principles of the oracles or the sayings of God. Hallelujah. What did Jesus say? We are going to the other side. Do you understand? When God says something, that's it. When God says something, that's it. He's asleep in the boat. Now I know where I left. He's asleep in the boat. There's a storm going on, but the storm doesn't trouble him. Why? Because the Father said, and he passed it on to the disciples, we are going to the other side. It doesn't matter what blows up on the way. We're going to the other side. I mean, I was thinking about this recently. I was thinking, you know, a lot of people get really fussy about Paul's thorn in the flesh, you know, and so do we, and so we should sometimes, because some people just want to say, well, Paul was sick, but you know what? So what if it was a sickness? The word was the same. My grace is sufficient for you. Yes, you might be enduring a little bit of sickness right now, but if you'll just stand on my word, you'll discover my grace is sufficient for you to heal you again and again and again. But people get nervous. Well, we can't admit Paul was sick. Why not? I don't believe in that instance he was speaking about sickness. He was speaking about a demonic assignment against him. Everywhere he went, there would be people would stir up a riot. But it doesn't see. Come on, folks. Has anybody been sick in the last month or felt a little bit of pain or a little bit of discomfort? See, you're admitting it. But what is the word to you? The Lord says, I am the Lord who heals you. Therefore, I might have to endure a little bit of pain for a few minutes or a few weeks or maybe even for a few months, but I will be healed because I am healed because as He is, so I am in this world. He says, I am the Lord who heals you, therefore I'm healed.
Amen.
That's settled. End of story. So there's a wee storm. But at the end of this sickness, this temporary, where will I be? Will my house stand? Or will my house have fallen flat under that thing? Will I accept the doctor's report? Or will I accept the report of God's word? Hallelujah. Amen. You have need that someone teach you the first principles of the oracles or the sayings of God. And you have come to need milk and not solid food. For everyone who partakes only of milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, for he is a baby. But solid food belongs to those who are of full age or those who are mature. Those who by reason of use or by reason of practice. Who knows you've got to practice something? Amen? Even if you were good at something at one time, if you haven't continued to practice it, you might discover you're not as good as you used to be. And there are certain things that we need to continually apply in our lives. We need to hear what he is saying, not what he said. Not, Brother Red, what did he say again? Oh man, what was he said 6 months ago? Oh man, if I could only just remember that, I might be able to do it now. No, hear what he is saying. It's an ongoing daily walk. You've got to live by faith every day. Man shall not live by faith. Am I to eat this morning? Some of you are starting to get hungry again already, aren't you? Come on, am you getting starting to get a bit peckish, and even though you had breakfast this morning? Any honest people? Yeah, there's Joe at the front there. We have one at least, or two, one and a half. I think Paul has his hand up about this fast. He's a Methodist. Hallelujah. They're getting free, though. Bless God. Hallelujah. Halfway is better than nowhere. Come on. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that God is saying, every word that he is speaking, every word that he is bringing to you right now. It's a now word. It's always a now word. You've got to keep feeding on it. Keep feeding on it. Keep tuned in. Keep listening. It's not enough to run around and try and just find that dig out that old tape on healing because you started to you felt a lump in your breast or somewhere. Come on. Hallelujah. Solid food belongs to those who are of full age. That is, those who by reason of use or of practice have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Remember, if it's good, it's from God. If it's evil, it's from the devil. Is that easy enough? Remember, you add something to God to get good. You take something away from the devil to get evil. The devil always comes to take away. The Lord always comes to add. Nice and easy for you. Hallelujah. Therefore, leaving the discussion of the elementary principles of Christ, let us go on to perfection or go on to maturity, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith towards God. That's two steps. I know a lot of people who talk, repent, and you get yourself into such a spin, you just get dizzy, fall down, and before you know it, you're back in sin. You know what I'm saying? Because that's what happens when you get in a spin, you get dizzy and you fall down. Because it's all about repent. I grew up in that kind of environment. I've known a lot of people I've had people nipping my ear for years. Repent. And repentance is important, but it's the first step. And if you only take the first step, you haven't started walking yet. And because you've taken the first step, you're unbalanced and so you can't even stand properly. So something comes along and it knocks you off because you're already unbalanced. It's important that we recognize there's two steps. We repent and we believe. We hear. See, repentance, the Greek word for repentance actually means to change your mind before it means changing anything else. It means to change your mind, and then that change of mind results in a corresponding change of action or change in direction in your life. But your mind must change first. You must decide. You must make a decision. You must make a choice. I don't want to do that anymore. As we heard in that short video clip, glory to God. People were saying, I was an alcoholic, but I'm not an alcoholic anymore. I was a drug addict. I'm not a drug addict anymore. I used to be lonely, but I'm not lonely anymore. I used to be a self-centered person, but I'm not self-centered anymore. What has happened? They've made a decision. They've made a choice that they don't want to be that person anymore. They've repented and turned away and changed direction in regards to these things in their lives. And they've begun to walk by faith, because they've taken hold of the deliverance and the healing and the salvation and the relationship that God has offered to them. Hallelujah. So it's two steps: repent and believe. Hear and do. Go to Romans chapter 3 a minute. Hallelujah. This is a foundation that must be laid. Repentance from dead works. What are dead works? That's everything. That's the way you did everything before you were born again. That's the way you thought about everything before you were born again. Change your mind. Change the way you think. You'll change the way you live. If you don't change the way you think, you'll just carry on living the same old way. Everything that you want to change about your life, you must first of all backtrack and change the way you think about that thing. Because your thoughts become your words. Your words become your actions. Your actions become your habits. Your habits become your character. And ultimately, your character will determine your destiny. Your character will determine whether your house stands or whether it falls after the storm. Where did I say? Romans chapter 3. Hallelujah. Romans chapter 3. And last Sunday, we were in Rome I know Rome is full of churches, some pretty fancy churches. Some of these guys know how to glam up their buildings, I'll tell you. but really, we couldn't find a church we couldn't even find one of the glammed up ones that was close enough to get to from our hotel. It was a little bit out of the city centre and several miles out of the centre of Rome. And so we thought, well, that's probably one of less than a handful of times since I've been born again, I haven't been in church on a Sunday morning. And so I thought, well, what am I going to do now? So I felt, why don't I read Paul's letter to the Romans when in Rome? You know what I'm saying? So I started reading there, and I thought, wow, you know, because you look around, and Rome has just become such a cosmopolitan city. It's just, and it's, as I say, it's so full of religion and religious artifacts and all that kind of stuff, and religious buildings, and with so much history, and yet it seems just so far away from God, so empty of God's presence. Anyway, I won't go into that. I won't give you any examples of that. But anyway, Romans chapter 3, Well, really, in a sense, you discover nothing much has changed since Paul was writing these letters. But in Romans chapter 3 and verse 7, it says something. It says, "For if the truth of God is increased through my life to his glory, why am I also still judged as a sinner? And why not say, let us do evil that good may come, as we are slanderously reported, and as some affirm that we say their condemnation is just." And so it would appear that slander is a false and a malicious statement. So it would appear that Paul was accused of preaching a message of grace that allowed people to go on sinning without consequences. That was what he was being accused of. The message of grace that he was preaching, people were saying, well, if you preach that message to people, they're just going to think they can carry on sinning and there'll be no consequences. Was that what he was preaching? Of course it wasn't. The grace that Paul preached, that amazing grace, that grace that sets you free, that grace that opens your eyes to life as it should be lived, that grace that causes you to rise up in the morning and say, I'm saved, I'm changed, I'm different, I'm a new creation, all of these things, that message of grace, and some people still try and use that message of grace in that way. Why? Because they've never learned to walk. Even like the man who builds his house upon the sand. Why? Because he heard, but he did not do. We'll get to some of that in a minute. But in Romans chapter 6, verse 14, in fact, Paul goes on with his defense, if you like, and he says, "For sin shall not have dominion over you." And this is the key to everything. "For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under law, but under grace." In other words, grace has such power attached to it that it is, and I want to say this before I go any further this morning, grace is always more powerful than sin. Grace is always more powerful than sin, but you will always have the choice. Whether to choose, and you must make that choice, because like I say, you cannot have sin and grace at the same time. Oh, well, I know I sin, but grace will cover it. No, you can't have sin and grace at the same time. Do you understand? And so you always must make that choice, but grace is always more powerful than sin. And Paul says that, "For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under law, but under grace." That doesn't say that grace has covered your sin. You see, you need to understand, mercy covered your sin. Grace empowers you and delivers you from sin. Jesus, you know, in Hebrews it says that we can come boldly to the throne of grace that we might obtain mercy. Mercy is when you do not get what you do deserve. And so mercy covered your sin. Mercy said, yes, you're a rotten, stinking, filthy, horrible, no good, wee brat of a sinner, but you're not going to get what you deserve. That's mercy. That covered, that dealt with that sin mess. And now grace comes to deliver you from sin. And grace to help in your time of need. Hallelujah. Grace, when God helps, he helps, doesn't he? Amen. God's help is always better than trying to help yourself. Come on. All these folks are rolling around in self-help groups, rolling around in the mud together, trying to pat each other on the back. I'm not knocking that per se if that's all that they know. And that's better than being alone. But, well, maybe marginally sometimes on occasions. But anyway, sometimes it might be better to be alone. But anyway, but God doesn't come to help us in that way. He doesn't come just to pat us in the back and say, oh, don't worry, you know, one day somewhere in the bright blue yonder, things will be better. He doesn't offer us pie in the sky. He says, here's the cake on the plate while you wait, son. You can have cake or steak, whatever you like, both rhyme. Anyway, both will work. Hallelujah. Blessed be the... Come on. Romans 6:15, it says, "What then? Shall we sin because we're not under law, but under grace? Certainly not." Dirty great exclamation mark. I'm not sure what an exclamation mark looks like in Greek, but I'm sure there must have been some punctuation mark there to get the message through to us that Paul is definitely not preaching that kind of a message. See, by faith, according to Hebrews, in Ephesians chapter 2, it says it's by faith, or through faith. By grace, sorry, through faith that we are saved. We are saved by grace through faith. By faith, hearing and doing. That's how we access the grace. That's how we access the supernatural power of God that delivers us from sin's power. So we need to understand, remember what we read in Proverbs, wisdom, through wisdom a house is built, and by understanding it is established or it is founded. We need to understand that sin is so destructive. This is what I want to get through to us this morning. Sin is so destructive that even one area of unaddressed sin in our lives can open the door to devastation. Remember that old story about the three pigs? Remember that? I'll huff and I'll puff and I'll blow your house down. Remember? One of them built his house with straw, didn't he? With, the other fellow with sticks or wood, wasn't it? And then the fellow who built his house with bricks. He was the only, his house was the only house that old devil couldn't huff and puff. That old foxy, whatever he called, wolf, whatever he was, couldn't blow down. Hallelujah. And that devil will come to you and he'll say, I will huff and I will puff and I will blow your house down. And that's his determined effort every day to blow your house down. And if your house is not founded and grounded upon the truth, and if there's one, even just one part of your building that is not built on that foundation, you can have 90% of your building on the right foundation, and there's a 10% that you couldn't find the hard, and you thought, oh, I'll just fill that with sand, and I'll just build the last 10% of the house on that faulty foundation. You will discover before very long that a big crack appears in your building. Is that right, Mark?
Yep.
Even although 90% of your building is on a firm, sure foundation. And I want to tell you, one area of unaddressed sin, one area in our lives where we have failed to access the grace of God, just one area of our lives that's been left unattended, can result. The sin is so destructive. I mean, think about it. What's one bite out of a bit of fruit? Well, all the mess that's going on out there right now, and some of the messes that are going on in here right now, all resulted from that one bite out of one bit of fruit. That's how devastating sin is. That's how destructive sin is. And one area of our lives that's left unattended or unaddressed, where we're not accessing the grace of God by hearing what He says and doing what He says in regards to that area, can result in devastation. Remember David? Remember David, the man after, he was everything you would ever want someone to be. I mean, if he showed up in this church, he'd be saying, oh, sit down, bless God, it's so good to have you. Before you knew, you'd be having preaching, you'd have him doing it all. Man after God's heart. Man, so, when the worship started, that man was dancing higher than teach. He was able to teach a few things. But because of one area of his life that he left unattended, he was disqualified from building a house for the Lord. Which house are we building? Just because one area of his life was left unaddressed, unattended, he was disqualified from building a house for God. You say, well, Jesus said, or it says in Acts chapter 15, it says that Jesus is going to rebuild the tabernacle of David. Yes, which has fallen down. Why did it fall down? Because you need to understand, it wasn't just the fact that he was disqualified from building a house. He opened a door into his family that brought such devastation, such destruction that, man, even soap operas don't come close to some of that stuff. If they put some of that stuff on soap operas, nobody would believe it. Some of that, you go back and you look at what happened in his family after that event. When he took something that God said wasn't his. When he failed, at the time when kings go out to war, David stayed at home. He failed to access the grace of God for kings to go into battle. You see, David wasn't going to ever lose a war. He was never ever going to lose a war. You need to understand, every day is a battle. I spent time with I spent time with someone just the other day, and in fact, and some more time with this person a couple of weeks ago, and I thought, wow. This person is fixed. They're focused. They're building the house of God. And I'll tell you, the battle. Some of the stuff that person goes through, glory to God. I'll tell you, Pastor Mary McLeod of New Wine Church 10. Some of the things, glory to God, that woman is able to push through and press on through and keep rejoicing and keep bringing a word from God, keep standing and declaring and proclaiming faith. Come on. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Shocking. Because she keeps accessing the grace of God. And I heard enough 2 weeks ago when we spent that weekend with her, going up there in Tainan. We meet up with her at Tesco's there because we're passing through Inverness on Friday. And she shares another couple of things. We think, whoa! But I want to tell you, when the storm is over, that lady's house will be standing. I was meditating in the morning before I was preaching that morning, that Sunday morning at 10. I was just pulling on the Lord. And the Lord said, He said, if I was to write a letter to the church in Tain, I would address it to Mary McLeod. Share that with the folks back there. So He said, because I know that she would be faithful in bringing that message. Just like the churches in Revelation, send this message to the messenger of the church. He said, if I was to address a letter to the church in Tain this morning, I would address it to Mary McLeod. I just have a wee teary break, okay? The grace of God. You've got to choose grace or sin. You can't have them both. If you leave one, even just one. I want to tell you, folks, I see sometimes people, I think, wow, this person, wow, such potential. They're definitely, they've got a heart after God. They're hearing what God is saying. They're applying much of what He's saying, but just one area of your life. That's all. Just takes one. Just one area. One part of your life. One area of unforgiveness. Just someone that you just can't get beyond what they did to you. That's enough to open the door to cause all manner of destruction and devastation. Right? Because you failed to access the grace of God. The gift of God, His grace, His awesome grace. His power to push through, to endure, and to, yes, sometimes to even stand up and rebuke that storm, but other times to endure that storm so at the end of it your house is still standing. We access grace through faith, through hearing what He says and believing it and taking Him at His word. If He says love your enemies, that means there's power available, because you can't love your enemies, and neither can I. Unless I access the grace of God that enables me to love my enemies. I can't pray for those who are persecuting me unless there's grace available. And thank God it's been made available, that He's made grace available to enable me to pray for those who are persecuting me, pray for those who are using me and abusing me, to do good to those who hate us. Come on, give us a break, folks. They're going to curse, bless those who curse you. Oh, I'm going to think up a few curse words that nobody's ever spoken yet and hit them with them. Unless there's grace available, and thank God it's been made available. Supernatural power has been made available to enable me. I want to tell you, I spent 5 days in Rome with amongst the most beautiful women in the world. I tell you, every woman in Rome is beautiful. I thought in Italy women got, I thought big fat Italian mamas. Come on. That's what I thought. Pasta, pizza, bring it on. You know what I'm saying? That's only the ones that migrate to America that end up like that, apparently. Because every single woman in Rome is beautiful, but I've got a word from the Lord. You know what the Word of God says? Just delight yourself in the wife of your youth. Let her breast satisfy you at all times. God doesn't miss and hit the wall. He tells you like it is. So that means there's grace available to me. I look at him and I say, thank you, Lord, for blessing me with this woman. We did not go to the hotel pool. Come on. Stick in, don't you stick out, you know? It wasn't until the last day that another beach whale showed up. But the Lord blessed us. We had this whole patio in the hotel all to ourselves every day just for sitting in the sun. Because everybody else is down the pool fighting over them recliner efforts and all that stuff. Hallelujah. But there's no way I was taking any of my clothes off in front of these people. 25 years ago, I might have had a six-pack. Well, it's been lost somewhere in the... Hallelujah. Amen. Like I spent all of these days back of the Word. And I know from that Word, life comes. And I know when I step out of that Word, devastation comes, destruction comes. It doesn't just stop there. It eats into a marriage. It eats into a family before you know it. And it goes in, then it goes into the generations and into the genes. And until someone stands up and says, enough! And gets back to hearing and doing. Hearing and doing. Hearing and doing. You don't know what my wife's like. You don't know what my wife's like. There's grace available. Come on. So there's grace available. Which house are we building? I want to tell you, see, that strong house of God is made up of strong families that are made up of strong individuals that are accessing the grace of God, so that when broken people and people whose lives are messed up walk through that door, they discover something. They discover that change is possible. And when they look around and they see what appears to be perfect families, and then one of these members of that perfect family gets up and begins to testify and begins to tell what God did, begins to relate how it started, how broken they were when they first came through the door, but begin to see what God has done, then hope begins to rise in people's hearts. It's not hope to say you've been married 5 times, well don't worry, 6th time might be better. That's not hope. That's not Bible hope. Hello? That's not Bible hope. Bible hope says, I'm coming back. I'm going to start hearing and I'm going to start doing. Yes, that man was wicked. Yes, he treated me like. But I tell you, I'm going to, even if it may be impossible for there to be any restoration, but I'm going to, because maybe they're married to somebody else, or maybe they're in prison, or maybe they're dead, but I'm going to let God deal with all of the junk, and all of the mess, and all of the filth, and all of the residue that's down there, and polluting my soul. I'm going to start accessing the grace of God that begins to clean out all of that mess. Because I'm believing for him to rebuild the tabernacle of David, which has fallen down. The man who was after God's heart, the man who jumped higher than anybody else, the man who knew how to praise God, the man who gave us probably more than 50% of the Psalms, glory to God. But his house fell down. Why? Because there was one, listen to this folks, just one area of sin left unaddressed. Just one place where grace wasn't accessed. Just one resulted in such devastation. Hallelujah. What house are we building? There's many people who appear to be everything that the church needs. But just because of one area of sin, they blow everything. Just one place where they don't access the grace of God by faith. Let me just finish with this morning. Just a couple of things that will be done. Heard this many, many years ago, and it still holds true today. Sin will always take you further than you wanted to go. That's why we need to understand today there's always a choice. I can either choose sin or I can choose grace. I cannot have them both. Religion might tell you can have them both. Religion will say, well, it doesn't matter if you sin, grace will cover it. No, that's not what grace does. Grace comes to deliver you from sin. Grace comes to empower you so you can reject sin, so that sin no longer has dominion over you, so that you always choose life. You always choose life, because sin always results, and now let me say that, sin always results in death. The soul that sins, it shall die. The day that you eat of the fruit of that tree, you shall surely die. Sin always leads to death, but grace always leads to life, and we must make that choice, great sin or grace. But sin will always take you further than you wanted to go, further than you were willing to go. In fact, you will find yourself taken captive and led astray and led into a place that you didn't ever want to end up. Sin will always make you stay longer than you wanted to stay. Come on, how many How many men said on a Friday night, I'll just go in for one pint, and woke up in the cells the next morning? I've been there. There's another man in the second row, he's been there. Oh, just one pint. Come on, let's come on, just one pint. You wake up in the cells with one welly. 3 days later, you discover it's behind the bar in the crowd. Do you leave this here? Now you can laugh, but it's not funny. Oh, I'll just go for one pint. You wake up in the morning and your wife's downstairs lying in a pool of blood with her face all mashed in because you couldn't handle the whiskey again. When you get up in the morning, you think the house is awful quiet today and the wife and the kids are gone. And you go up and down the street shouting their name and you can't find them because one pint. That's all. I'm just going for one pint. I've had a hard week at work. Surely I deserve that. Sin will always make you pay more than you wanted to pay. Because that's the nature of the beast. It'll always take you farther than you wanted to go. Always make you stay longer than you wanted to stay. And always make you pay more than you wanted to pay. That guy wakes up in the morning and his family's gone. I woke up in the cells many times and I would open my eyes. I wouldn't open my eyes. I think, oh no. Because you knew you were on that mattress. You know, it was about an inch and a half thick. And you just put your hand out and you felt that cold concrete and you thought, oh no. And because you can't remember anything because you're in this blur, this alcoholic haze, and you're thinking, I don't know why I'm here. I don't know if I really want to stand up and ring that buzzer and get someone to come here and tell me why I'm here because you could have done anything. I just thank the Lord it was usually drunk and incapable. But you see, the thing is, it might not have been. You might have got in a car because you know you're the best driver in the world. Even though you've drunk so much alcohol you can hardly stand, but you can still drive. And you could have run into somebody else and killed them. Just like that. Because sin will always make you pay more than you would pay. That's the nature of it. But that, like I said previously, we need to get a grip on this. Grace is always more powerful than sin. But it can only be accessed one way, and that's by faith that walks. Say, faith that walks. And faith that walks is faith that takes at least two steps. Hearing and doing. There's no point in just hearing. You can get so fat on the Word of God. Amen? Come on. But it's those who exercise that Word. Those who put it into practice. Those who begin to apply it in their lives. Choosing to do what he says, choosing obedience, choosing blessing, choosing life. You see, Romans 14, verse 23 says this, whatever is not of faith is sin. Let me just give you the key as we close this morning. You see, the only antidote for sin, the only antidote, or the only people who will access the grace of God, those who love God. Because faith, according to Galatians chapter 5 verse 6, is activated, energized, expressed, and works through love, according to the Amplified Bible. Only love is the answer. Only love always puts God and others first. I asked the Lord several years ago, I said, Lord, help me just to define sin simply in a way that I can understand it. And this is what he said, sin is self-interest and self-indulgence. And so we will sin when we put our own selfish interests before those with whom we are in relationship. Number one, with the Lord. We put our interests before his interests. When we step out in what we want to do, regardless of what he has said, then we sin. And it's the same in every other relationship, whether that's with our husband or our wife or our child or our parent or our siblings, or our brothers, sisters in the Lord, our co-workers, our neighbours, our employers, our employees, whatever. Whenever we put our own selfish interests before theirs, whenever we choose to indulge ourselves over at the expense of somebody else, that is sin. And we never have to sin. Do you know that? Because grace is always available. Grace has been made freely available at all times. You see, Paul put it this way. He said, even though sin abounds, grace abounds much more. So what do you say? Oh, well, that doesn't matter. I'll just go and do what I want and grace will abound. No, even when you choose sin, grace is still abounding. But you're missing it. You're not accessing it. You're not pulling on it. You're not receiving the power that grace brings to deliver you out of that sin. Hallelujah. Let's stand up together. Whose house are we building? We'll read you one more scripture, I think, but I could read you a couple, but I'll let you stand up because some of you needed a stretch, it sounded like. Whose house are we building? Are we building the Lord's house or are we building our own house? Because one will stand and the other will fall. And let me just read you some verses in Revelation chapter 2 while you're still standing up, because who knows, you can't walk until you stand up first. At least that's the way I've always found it to be, anyhow. And so the first step to walking this out this morning is to stand up. So we've done the first step. Hallelujah. But let me read you something. Because you maybe are saying, I'm not sure about all that sort of stuff. Well, let's hear what Jesus says to this church. And I mean, we could read through all of these letters, but let's just read one of them. In fact, the church in... which one will we do? The one... in Thyatira. To the angel or the messenger of the church in Thyatira write, these things says the Son of God, who has eyes like a flame of fire and his feet like fine brass. Now listen to this. This sounds really good, doesn't it? I know your works, your love, your service, your faith, and your patience. And as for your works, the last are more than the first. Sounds great, doesn't it? I would like to get a letter like that from the Lord, would you not? But nevertheless, I have a few things against you, because you allow that woman Jezebel, who calls herself a prophetess, to teach and seduce my servants, to commit sexual immorality and to eat things sacrificed to idols. And this is the Lord. I gave her time to repent of her sexual immorality, and she did not repent. Indeed, I will cast her into a sick bed, and those who commit adultery with her into great tribulation, unless they repent of their deeds. I will kill her children with death, and all the churches shall know that I am he who searches the minds and the hearts. I want to invite this morning to allow the Spirit of the Lord to search your mind and to search your heart and to discover in us, is there anything within us, like that was David's cry, search me and know me, see if there's any wicked way in me, because I've discovered just how devastating that stuff is if it was allowed to remain, and allow the Spirit of the Lord to come this morning and search us and see if there's one area, even just one area in our lives where we're not accessing the grace of God. Because if we leave it uncovered, unaddressed, then I'm telling you, devastation can come. Because sin always brings destruction, always brings devastation. But we have an awesome opportunity every single day to access the grace of God by simply hearing what he says and doing it. Changing our course of our actions, of our lives, our words, our thoughts, all of these things is coming into line with him. He says, I am he who searches the hearts, the minds and the hearts, and I will give to each one of you according to your words. Now to you I say, and to the rest in Thyatira, as many as do not have this doctrine, who have not known the depths of Satan, as they say, I will put on you no other burden, but hold fast what you have until I come. And he who overcomes and keeps my works until the end, to him I will give power over the nations. He shall rule them with a rod of iron. They shall be dashed in pieces like the potter's vessels. As I also have received from my Father, and I will give him the morning star. He who has an ear. Do you have an ear this morning to hear what the Spirit says to the churches? Well, if you have an ear to hear, then let's take what he says and let's apply it in our lives. Maybe right now, I believe the Spirit of the Lord is coming right now to deal with us individually. Because this house that we're building, it's made of living stones, individual stones. This house that he is building in this place, this local church that he's putting together, that he is bringing together. And I look around and I look at people that I love and I think, Lord, God, awesome people. I look at somebody and I think, wow, you know, you've just been such a blessing to me in my life. But let's allow the Spirit of the Lord to come and say, maybe there's something here that we need to address. There's something here we need to... We need to yield something here that we need to access the grace of God and will bring deliverance and freedom and a new place of security and a new place of power and a new place of authority in the realm of the Spirit. Hallelujah. See, Jesus said in three of the Gospels it's recorded, my house shall be called a house of prayer, but you have made it. You have made it a den of thieves. Man, that's strong words. He's saying, my house is called out, but you've made it. You've allowed it to become. How could that happen? By simply failing to access the grace of God that brings the life that He came that we could enjoy. Hallelujah. And begin to overflow into the community around us. Hallelujah. Father, in Jesus' name, I invite you to come. Holy Spirit, I invite you to come right now. Search our hearts. Search our minds. Lord, if there's anything twisted, anything corrupted, anything wicked working in there, Lord, something that, a place that we've opened the door because we failed to access your grace, I pray you come right now, Lord, and reveal that to us, Lord, so that we can close that door once and for all and forever by accessing your grace, by receiving the deliverance that you have so freely provided for us. And so, Lord God, you just loved us so much, Lord, you didn't leave anything undone. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. I'd rather be a doorman in the house of the Lord than to dwell in the tents of wickedness. Glory to God. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Better is one day in your courts, better is one day in your house than thousands elsewhere. You know, there's parts of our lives that we've lived thousands of days elsewhere. We need to bring them into the house of the Lord. When you bring these things out that are just nothing but gateways to destruction, and build them into the house of the Lord. Have them converted to that which materials that He can use in His building. Bring forth a testimony. We overcome by the blood of the Lamb and by the power of our testimony. Hallelujah. When God takes the broken, the fallen, and He restores it. Produces a testimony to His glory. Takes the sick and heals him. Takes the demonized and delivers him. Hallelujah. I was just reading it this morning. It says, the people said about Jesus, behold, He has done all things well, for He makes the dumb to speak and the deaf to hear. Hallelujah. He didn't just make the dumb to speak, but He allowed the deaf to hear what the dumb were now saying. Hallelujah. So the deaf could hear the testimony of the dumb. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Amen. Amen. Behold, He does all things well. Will you allow Him to do things well in your life this morning? Hallelujah. Let's just wait another couple of minutes on the Lord. Those who wait, we were saying that those who wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. This is where our hope comes from, folks. Just waiting upon Him. Trusting in Him. Hoping in Him. Reaching out to Him. And take, like Joe said, the people with no arms and hands, they are unable to reach out and to take that which has been offered to them. But thank God, our hands and our arms have been restored. Hallelujah. Let's lift up these hands. Becky read it from Psalm 24. We need to, come on, let's lift up. Let's lift up. Be lifted up. Be lifted up, Korobo Sahi Gates. Korobo, come on. Go that the King of Glory might come in. That the grace of His glory might come in and fill that broken place. Heal that broken place. Fill that void in our lives. Just let His glory come. It's only the glory that can bring the change. It's only the glory of the Lord that can deliver. It's only the glory of the Lord that can heal. Only the glory of the Lord can save. Oh, Rababasika, maybe you don't even know the Lord this morning. Open up the door of your heart. Say, come on in, Lord Jesus. Come in, Lord. Take my life. Let it be consecrated, Lord, to Thee. Oh, Rababasika, take my moments and my days. Let them flow in ceaseless praise. Oh, Rababasita, Rababasokobo. See, Rababasika, just as I am, without one plea, but that Thy blood was shed for me. Oh, hallelujah. That you bid me come to Thee, O Lamb of God, I come. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, Ramama Shara Baba Soto Robobo Soko. Kila Rapapa Raboradisto Soto. Hallelujah. Just welcome Him. Welcome Him. Welcome Him. Throw open the gates. Throw open the gates. Throw open the gates. Oh, Ramas. Welcome Him in. Welcome Him in. Soho let Him heal the broken places. Oh, I just have a strong sense. The Lord is saying, this is your chance, this is your opportunity. That dark place, that place of disobedience, that place where you fail to access my grace, just open up right now and I will flood your life. I will flood your life. I will flood your life with healing and deliverance and restoration. Oh, yes, Lord. Hallelujah. 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 Blessed be the name of the Lord. Whose house are we building? Who are we in partnership with this morning? Oh, Guburabasak. Are we hearing and doing or just hearing? We can be hearing and talking and speaking and shouting and even preaching. Even the preacher here this morning, I can speak for myself. If I'm not hearing and doing, if I'm just a hearer and a speaker and a preacher, well, my house is coming down. But I believe for better things. Hallelujah. Either he does or he doesn't. That's got to be settled in our hearts this morning. Hallelujah. He said, we will build our houses upon what he has said. Not just hearing it, but applying it in our lives, doing it, building it into our lives. Then when the storm passes, all will see that our house was built on a rock. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And that doesn't mean it's the end for those whose houses were on the sand, but there's a testimony coming forth, a consistent testimony coming forth from the house on the rock. There's a beacon of hope traveling out into the darkness saying there's hope. There's a way forward. There's a way beyond where you are. There's a way back. There's a way of restoration. But it's only one way. There's only ever two choices, and you've got to choose right. You've got to choose grace over sin every time. Hallelujah. 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 Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord.